Now, it's time for Backseat Mogul with R. Scott Bolton. He talks about showbiz because showbiz won't talk about him.
Showbiz is a cruel and shallow money trench, a long plastic hallway where thieves and pimps run free and good men die like dogs for no good reason. There's also a bad side.
This is the Backseat Mogul Show live here on Rough Edge FM. This is the show where we talk about show business. I am R. Scott Bolton. I am the Backseat Mogul. And as I said, we do talk about show business in the show. We're going to talk a lot about it today here with Johnny D.
I think I'm suffering from a hangover.
What makes you say that?
Because of the show we did yesterday.
That was a good show. Friday Shot Day show, Christmas show yesterday. That was a lot of fun. I haven't had that much fun on that show in a long time. It was crazy fun, gifts flying, shots flying. It was good stuff.
I tell you, man, I woke up this morning in a cold sweat.
Well, that's because you had a, you know, remember the Flintstones?
Yeah.
The plates of food that Fred Flintstone used to have?
Especially when he stopped at the drive-in.
Yeah. You had a dessert the size of one of those things.
Oh, man.
Doug made it for you. He set it down on... It's crazy.
Yeah, the whole building shook.
Well, you know what happens. That's what... when you treat your body that way, that's the punishment you get.
Yeah. But you know something? With the exceptions of the whipped cream, it was all homemade, and Julie made the pumpkin pie.
Best pumpkin pie I've ever had in my life. It was fluffy and delicious, and it was made with that Fireball whiskey instead of something else. And oh my,
well,
it was delicious.
Obviously, it was made by Miss Fireball.
Well, yeah, but she made it with Fireball whiskey.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was just awesome.
And then the brownies, oh.
Yeah. Was all
and the chocolate chip cookies, man, fantastic.
I did notice, though, that didn't stop you from wolfing down that Jack-in-the-Box breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, it was good too. You know, we've got to do the next show we do. We have got to do those sausage and the sausage gravy pot pie that we've got in the
freezer.
You're
so excited about those, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Johnny got some breakfast pot pies from Sara Lee. Who is it?
Banquet,
and he just can't wait to pop those suckers open and get into them.
Well, it's a breakfast thing. It's a pot pie that's made with gravy and sausage.
It's a pot pie, and I don't care. I do care. I'm looking forward to those,
yeah,
too. All right. Well, there's no way we can start today's show, which is a show about show business, without talking about this Sony hack nonsense.
Yeah.
And this is a big, big deal to me. And, you know, I get all kinds of arguments about it. But the bottom line is this. There was a meme that was making the rounds on Facebook yesterday. And it said, I wonder which movie North Korea is going to let us watch next week. And it's true. You know, we're at this point where this... Now, let's start from the beginning. I knew from the get-go that James Franco and Seth Rogen were making a mistake. We're talking about their movie, The Interview, which, of course, you all know about right now. By including a real-life character in an assassination plot. Now, it could be argued that Tarantino did it with Inglourious Basterds, but we all know how that really came out, don't we? That was obviously alternate history. If I had been those filmmakers, I would not have used the North Korean dictator as the target. I would have used a fictional country, and I would have used a fictional dictator that looked exactly like him. That's what I would have done. It just doesn't make sense to include, especially somebody that that so easily butthurt.
Yeah.
In the mix of things.
Well, if you look at him, he is butt ugly.
So that's the first thing. First thing, they should have done it fictionally. It would have saved everybody probably hundreds of millions of dollars and this international incident that's dangerous on many levels. And that's the first thing that should have happened. But this is America. We have freedom of speech here, and they have the right to do whatever the hell they want to do, except apparently release their own movie.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. So you have to protect that as well. And that's the way they want to go. That's the way you want to. There's going to be consequences, maybe, but not to this level. The bottom line is that, in my opinion, they shouldn't have pulled the release of that movie.
I agree with you. And not only do I agree with you, even President Obama has even said, basically, like he said, why did you people do that? Why didn't you pull it?
Why didn't you call me first? You know, why didn't they get him in the mix? It's an international incident.
It is.
And what North Korea has apparently done now, North Korea being the FBI has linked them to the being behind it. I mean, before it was a theory. Maybe North Korea is behind it because of the movie. But now the FBI has officially linked them to it. So now it's an international incident. And an international incident is going to have repercussions. Here's the first thing they did. The first thing those hackers did was they cost Sony billions of dollars. Billions with a B. They have gone so far as to release the screenplay for the new James Bond movie, Spectre, which is a $300 million movie. Okay? Will that hurt the box office? I don't know. It very well could, but I don't know. So that alone, billions of dollars. And you know, I've heard other radio hosts and things say, it's just a silly comedy. Why are they fighting it so hard? You know, who cares if this movie gets released or not? Well, here's who cares. The point is that, first of all, they hurt Sony to the point that they may not recover. Sony is a huge company, and they may not recover from this. That's huge. And B, this is the part everybody tends to forget. They said they were going to kill Americans if they go to the movies.
Yeah.
How does anybody get away with that?
Well, the thing is, back in, I think it was 2005, when North Korea started printing bogus $100 bills, and the U.S. put such stringent sanctions, not only on them, but the banks that they do business with worldwide, that those banks said, yeah, we're not going to put up with North Korea doing that.
And this is why the people of North Korea are starving and miserable and broken, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. And now this man, this dictator, through his hackers, who are really good hackers, have stopped Americans from going to the movies.
They've
what is this about?
What they wanted
and you know,
to do.
If that movie had come out that day, I might have gone to see it that day, even though I'm not even that excited about it. I probably would have gone to see it that day just to say, screw you, buddy. You're not telling me how to go to movies. But now Sony's taken that away from us. Sony has made the decision that they're not going to release, at least right now, they're not going to release the interview on Christmas Day when it was supposed to be out. So we're not going to see, mainly because they say so many theater chains decided they weren't going to show it. And as angry as you want to get at those theater chains and as angry as you want to get at Sony, you understand it, because what kind of lawsuits would they be on the hook from if something happened?
And also, even if North Korea doesn't do anything, you know there's going to be at least one person who's going to go, ooh, I can hurt some people.
Well, there might be. There might not be. But that's another concern that you have to take, and that's why it gets to the point here. But the bottom line is still that, no matter how you look at this, this time the terrorist won.
Mm-hmm.
And that just sticks in my craw. The whole thing, you know, we don't negotiate with terrorists, or at least we're not supposed to. The only way to stand up to them is to stand up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this faceless group of hackers who told Sony that just the other day, I think, was it yesterday, day before, you were very wise in canceling your Christmas release. Make sure you never release it anywhere, digitally, DVD, Blu-ray, anything, or the same. They're still threatening.
They don't even want to do it on demand.
They don't want it out at all.
Yeah.
They don't want it at all. And so Sony's still being told these things. Now, here's some other theories going on, though. And I didn't think of this until a friend of mine at work brought it up the other day. Did Sony do this purely, cancel the film, purely for financial reasons? Did they do it for reasons of fear? I think somebody said it was an act of cowardice on Sony's part. Or, and here's the part I think was interesting, do those hackers have something else on the Sony executives, something else on the stars or directors, whoever, who work for Sony, that they haven't released yet, that's so bogus and so heinous that it would destroy them? And is that maybe why they're not releasing this film?
Look at all these lawsuits that are being filed against Sony.
But you're missing the point. My point is, maybe there's something so vile that they were able to glean from those records that they're threatening Sony with that now, saying, if you release that movie, we're going to release this information about this person, and it will ruin everything. That's a possibility. It could be more blackmail. I don't know. Somebody else just brought that thought up to me, and it was interesting. So it's a sticky situation.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's interesting.
The bottom line is this. We should not have backed down. And then you know, some of the theaters, okay, screw you. We won't run the interview. We're going to run Team America from the South Park guys, which also has the Korean dictator in there, in exactly not a very shining quality. And what does Paramount do? No, you're not. You're not playing that one either. They're all running scared from this thing, when this is the time to stand up and say, no, we're not going to let this happen. And the next problem about it is that this Sony hack, I guess they have a team of like 1,800 hackers that sole purpose is to, as they said on another radio show, hack for their country. And you know that those guys are all eating fat right now because they're heroes over there. But these hackers, as good as they are, I bet you there are kids in their garages here in America who are just as good, if not better. And my fear is they're going to start hacking into North Korean companies
who probably don't
have the same security that Sony should have had. And what kind of damage can they wreak over there? That guy's got nukes. Let's hope they don't get into their nuclear arsenal and screw around. You know, North Korea could end up blowing itself up.
Well, they've already said that, this is what I heard yesterday or the day before, that they've got proof that these hackers, that North Korea has been sending their hackers to China and Russia to hone their hacking skills.
Well, they could also send them here to learn their hacking skills.
Which I wouldn't be surprised.
None of that means anything right now. The hacking can be learned anywhere. And like I said, there's so many people who are that good at it. There's a fear that somebody here might hack over there and cause real havoc. The bottom line is that these companies have got to increase their security measures tenfold. And I know any system can be hacked, but let's make it a little harder. Let's make it a little more difficult.
You remember the first Red Dawn?
Sure. Hated that movie.
Yeah. and that was about the Russians and the Cubans invading America. And who helped us? The Chinese.
Well, it was in their best interest.
Right.
You know that was a movie, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the second, when they redid it, the retelling, or it's not a sequel, what do you call it?
A reboot.
It was going to be... China was going to be the bad guys, and they turned around and made it the North Koreans. Well, then why don't they just re-release that movie into the theaters? We'll show you North Koreans.
This is why you're not in the loop, John.
Yeah. No, my point is, you know, like China are... actually, China did make a stink. That's why they changed it to the North Koreans.
The best thing Sony can do at this point, the best thing they can do is take that movie, and they've said that they don't have the capability of doing this, but they know people who do, and release it to the world free. Say, look, here's that movie. Everybody watch it around the world. Download it, pick it up on iTunes, whoever they need to partner with to get it out there. Just release it to everybody. They're still going to take a loss unless they slip some advertising or something into it, but they will show the world that, no, We're not gonna be afraid of that. We can't be afraid of that. If we stop going to the movies because of these threats, if we stop doing anything because of these threats, then the war is lost. It's over for us, and there's no recovering from it.
Sony won't take a loss simply because I agree with you. Release it for free on all media,
everywhere,
and take that big tax write-off.
Well, that could be that. Yeah. Could be true as well. So, again, it's just a mess right now, and it's a slippery slope. I've had arguments with people that say, well, who cares if that movie, it's just a stupid little comedy. Okay, fine. But what if there's a documentary made about some whistleblower, say a nuclear power plant and you know, then all of a sudden these terrorists threaten, and that doesn't get released. A news story, something like that. You can't have anybody dictate to you what you can see, what you can read, what you can hear in a free society, or it's not a free society. And I don't, you know, we took a hit this week because of Sony pulling that movie. Is it a big hit with just that movie? No, it really isn't. But it's a slippery slope, And you have to be careful with slippery slopes because sometimes they lead to things that are ridiculous. But it's a dangerous start to something that could be, trust me, every other terrorist mm-hmm. group in the world is looking at that going, wow, look what they did.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
You know, what, if the North Koreans were smart, what they should have done was threaten the studios, whoever, don't do another Sharknado. No, we should re-release Gregory Peck's Pork Chop Hill. That was about the Korean War.
You just keep trying, don't you, John? Yeah. You just keep trying. That's all right. All right. Well, this this is kind of our Christmas show. Christmas coming up here on Thursday. I didn't want to play the traditional Christmas music, so I dug around, did some research, and I found this Christian band. I thought a Christian band would be a good band to play for us today. So this is a Christian band called Beautiful Mess. This track is called All Right, and when I come back, I'll tell you some more about Beautiful Mess and what their plan of action is. This is Beautiful Mess with a track called All Right from their album Words Getting Around, and we'll be back right after this. Backseat Mogul Show, Rough Edge FM.
Gotta keep running just to stay alive. Rising so fast, I'm headed to Mars. My feet have left the ground, now I'm headed for the stars. Well, I could stop just to catch my breath, but then I'd try to sit and I'd be bored to death. Just a little more and I'll be all set. When the good is getting good, you know you gotta get. Cause I got it good and I got it right, and I'll feel to the top if it takes all night. One day closer to the pot of gold, to the top if it takes all night. Cause it's all right, I got it all right. Someday I should take time to choose, but if I stop, then I'm
I got it right, and I'm filled to the
listening to the Backseat Mogul Show live here on Rough Edge FM, and that was our featured artist of the week. That is a band called Beautiful Mess, and let me tell you a little bit about Beautiful Mess. Beautiful Mess is the brainchild of brothers Mike and Chris Earhart, fueled by the musical vision and leadership of Mike's son, Tim. Formed 5 years ago, the group came together when each member realized that his individual talents work together better if brought together in a group. For Beautiful Mess, that message is the key, sharing an authentic look at life and faith with the world, bringing truth to those searching and creating a space for honest, open communication. In Words Getting Around, the band's latest release, the message is front and center. The EP explores a variety of musical textures, from a funky, lighthearted groove to more conventional anthems, and will soon be performed live with a new narrative video in production. With their depiction of everyday faith and compelling musicianship, Words Getting Around, that Beautiful Mess invites you to take a listen and experience the music and message for yourself. And you can find them at beautifulmessmusic.com, and we'll have some more music from Beautiful Mess coming up here shortly.
I enjoyed it. It was good.
Very interesting stuff, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what's going on here. Let's see, yesterday, here's some this breaking news here from the interview story.
That's glass breaking. Okay, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Apparently, this is breaking news from the interview thing. A new promo for the film appeared on Sony's YouTube channel, which gave rise to some discussion about the movie potentially getting a direct-to-video view-on-demand release. So that could then, the clip has then pulled ever since then, so we don't know if that means anything or not. But, and by the way, this hacker group calls himself Guardians of Peace. We are the Guardians of Peace, and we'll come kill your ass if you go see the movie. I think they need to look up the word peace and see what that means in the dictionary. Let's see what else we have here. The Directors Guild of America has publicly thrown in its support. They released a statement saying that they were behind the directors, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, so they're supporting them. George Clooney released a statement that I thought was absolutely brilliant. Let me read it to you here. What happens if a newsroom decides to go with a story and a country or an individual or corporation decides they don't like it? Forget the hacking part of it. You have someone threatened to blow up buildings, and all of a sudden everybody has to bow down. That's the scary part. That's the scary part right there. And anyway, as I said, the FBI has said that North Korea was behind the hacking. President Obama yesterday said this in his speech on the State of the Nation. This is President Obama. We will respond proportionately and in space. Let me start again. I'm not as good an orator as he is. We will respond proportionately and in a space, time, and manner that we choose. We cannot have a society in which some dictator someplace can start imposing censorship in the United States. Americans cannot change their patterns or behavior due to the possibility of a terrorist attack. That's not who we are. That's not what America is about. And I'm behind him 100% on that. That is well said.
Very few things that I am behind our president on. This is one of them I'm definitely behind him on.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very well said there. So anyway, we're going to stop talking about that now because it's got way too much press and publicity. And we're talking about more exciting things like some upcoming movies. You ever heard of a I think it was one of those, you know, the heavy metal comics, right?
Yeah.
I believe that the artist, Frank Frazetta, did a lot of heavy metal comics. And way back when, they did an animated feature called Fire and Ice. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Which is the name of the books that the TV series with the swordplay and...
Really, John?
Chopping people's heads off. And
Game of Thrones is based on. Game of Thrones is based on Fire and Ice?
The book, Fire and Ice.
Wait. I'm completely
not
lost.
Not the comic book. There's a book. The guy that wrote...
George R.R. Martin.
Right.
Okay, but it's a different book, right?
Right. But what I'm saying is Game of Thrones TV series is based on the book, Fire and Ice, written by Martin.
No. Game of Thrones is based on the series of books written by George R.R. Martin.
Okay, so I left out series and
okay,
the
but
S
this
on
Fire
books.
And Ice is not the same Fire and Ice. Stop confusing things, man.
I didn't say it was.
You did.
No.
You said it was based on Fire and Ice.
But I didn't say that.
This Fire and Ice is a 1983 animated adventure put together by Frank Frazetta, who's, if you've seen his artwork, it's absolutely stunningly gorgeous. If you haven't seen it, Google his name, Frank Frazetta, just like it sounds, and hit images and look at some of the glory there. They are incredible. Frank Frazetta and legendary director Ralph Bakshi did together. Here's the news, though, about Fire and Ice, and this is really exciting. Robert Rodriguez wants to do a live-action version of Fire and Ice. He and Sony Pictures, assuming that Sony survives, are going to do that. Mm-hmm. Robert Rodriguez is going to put together a live-action version of Fire and Ice, which is, you know, like you said, it's guys with hoods on, with big old battle axes, muscles that look make Dwayne Johnson look like a midget. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that. Make Dwayne Johnson look like a little person. And girls with extremely large eyes.
Those two.
They're going to turn that into a feature film, and I think that's very exciting. That's the kind of movie that Robert Rodriguez does best, where he's got this mix of special effects mm-hmm. and character development, and it should be fun. So that's the good news coming from the Robert Rodriguez, Ralph Bakshi, Frank Frazetta, and Sony camps.
Nice.
Fire and Ice coming soon.
Who's going to tell them, oh, you can't do that?
I don't know.
It's going to be the animation people.
I wonder who. They'll get a message from Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
Who would play the lead in that, though? I'm assuming it has to be a big muscle guy, and I'm not sure that Dwayne is young enough to do that.
If it's what do you call it? The type of live action animation?
Well, it's not live action animation. It's a live action version of an animated film.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Jason Statham.
Yeah.
He's probably too old, too. By the way, his new movie, Wild Card, the trailer is up for it.
I've seen it.
It's based on a book by William Goldman. And William Goldman is one of the greatest writers, novelists, screenwriters of all time. He's incredible. He wrote the screenplay for Wild Card, which is based on his book called Heat, which became a Burt Reynolds movie called Heat, which is now a Jason Statham movie called Wild Card. And based on what I saw in the trailer, following the book pretty closely, which is the nice thing about having authors write their own screenplays. It's about a down-on-his-luck, I don't want to say hitman, but enforcer in Las Vegas, who wants, all he wants is to get $500,000. Of course, that's what we all want. Mm-hmm. So he can get out of Vegas.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be there anymore. And he's getting closer. But he's also got a gambling problem, which makes it difficult for him. His friend comes to him, and she's all beat up. And he's like, well, who did this to you? He finds out it was some martial arts guy or somebody, big famous guy, who did it in a hotel room in Las Vegas. And the woman who got beat up, wants revenge on this guy. Well, all of Jason Statham's friends tell him, no, you can't do that. You can't, that guy's going to kill you. But does that stop him? Of course not. So anyway, very much looking forward to that. It's a perfect Jason Statham movie. Better for the fact that William Goldman is the writer behind it. And the big difference, though, is that in the book, the character Chevy is Mexican. In the movie, the Burt Reynolds movie, strangely enough, he was still Mexican. Burt Reynolds. In the new movie, there's no way Jason Statham's playing a Mexican. So.
But he could still play Chevy.
I'm sure he will. His character's probably still called that, but he's not going to be Mexican.
Didn't he play a character called Chevy once before?
I believe that his character was Chevy in the
Transporter?
No,
not Transporter.
It was the Crank movies.
Yeah.
I believe that was Chevy, as a matter of fact. Okay. So anyway, anytime there's a new Jason Statham movie, you know I'm excited.
Oh,
even though I'm sad to admit, I'm like three movies behind. I haven't seen the one he did with Jennifer Lopez, and there's a couple other ones I haven't seen.
He did one
yet.
With Jennifer Lopez?
See? Parker.
Oh, wait. Did I see it? No, I didn't.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
Yeah.
All right, let's play another song by our featured
artist. Real quickly, let's go back to Fire and Ice.
Okay.
We were talking about who could play.
Did you have a thought? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what about Channing Tatum? Channing Tatum.
That's a great choice.
Whatever his name is. Channing
now,
Tatum.
Those of you who are familiar, more familiar with Fire and Ice than Johnny and I, forgive us because we're just going based on looking at the Frank Frazetta paintings. I think Channing Tatum could play that part based on that. I don't know the character well enough to say that either way. But yeah, that may not be a bad choice. Channing might be all right. Charlie Hunnam might be a good choice.
Yeah. From Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy, yeah. He's pretty chiseled. All right, time for another featured... No, let me try that again, can I? Time for another song from our featured artist of the week. Once again, this is Beautiful Mess. You can check them out at beautifulmessmusic.com. This track is called Crazy. We'll be back right after this. Backseat Mogul Show, Rough Edge FM.
Got this friend in my town. Spends the day just walking around. Crazy saying walk this way, follow me to a better day. Maybe he's not so wrong. Have we done it this way for too long? What if what seemed crazy really was true? Would it change what you say and what you do? Is it staying the same that is insane? Wasting time playing that same old game. What if your dreams really came true? Would it change what you say? Walking around, talks to people like no one does. Says the last is first and the God is love. He says follow me to a new way, and I'll show you that way.
This is the Backseat Mogul Show live here on Rough Edge FM. I am R. Scott Bolton. Johnny D. sitting over there. We've been talking about all kinds of stuff. We just were talking about George R. R. Martin. And strangely enough, he has released a statement himself about the cancellation of the movie, The Interview. And this show is we try very carefully this show to keep it PG rated. This is going to be stretching the PG rating just a little bit here. So, but I just want to read this release, this statement quote from George R. R. Martin, the brainchild, the novelist who brought us the Game of Thrones series. He says, and I quote, "The level of corporate cowardice here astonishes me. It's a good thing these guys weren't around when Charlie Chaplin made The Great Dictator. If Kim Jong-un scares them, Adolf Hitler would have had them shitting in their small cloths." Don't mince any words there, Mr. Martin. I just wanted to know what you thought there. So,
you know, sometimes anyway. It's very appropriate.
That was actually one of those times. So, Johnny's got the schedule for the upcoming movies at the Insomniac Cinema here in Ventura. Is what we're going to talk about?
Yeah, at the
Regency
Ventura,
Theater.
Regency 6.
And it's a nice little theater over there. And the best thing about it is that they have this weekly series they call the Insomniac Cinema Series. I don't know why they call it the Insomniac Cinema Series, because it starts at 8.
7:30.
So it's not like, you know, a lot of people are supposed to be sleeping by then, but that's the name of it nonetheless. Anyway, they show classic movies or movies that you haven't seen in theaters for a while on the big screen for a little higher fee than they normally charge there, but it's worth it. And Johnny's at the list of movies coming up in the schedule here, so run those through for us.
Unless they have raised their prices, right now, if you buy your tickets before Thursday, it's $7.
Because Thursday night is the night they have the screening.
Right. And if you buy it the day of, on Thursday, the tickets are $9.
Okay.
So with that being said.
And that's, you have to understand, folks, that that's a discount theater. So their usual price, I believe, is $3.50 to get in.
Yes.
So it's $9 is considerably higher. Mm-hmm. But that's because it's a special movie. Okay, go ahead there.
So starting for one show only, Thursday, January 8th, a classic, The Maltese Falcon.
Great movie.
Yeah, with Humphrey Bogart.
Yep, can't beat that with a stick. That's a great one.
Yeah, it's black and white, but to see these movies.
Wait. It's black and white, but? What do you mean? It should be black and white.
Well, I know it, but, well, you know, some people.
You were making an apology for black and white. Don't do that.
Well, no, I'm not making an apology. I'm making an apology for people who don't care for black and white. This is a must-see movie. It's a classic.
All right, I'll let you get away with it.
This one, yeah. If it wasn't on so late, bring the kids. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Great movie.
That's going to be January 15th.
Absolutely great movie, and a fantastic score by Danny Elfman there as well.
This one is for the aficionados, I guess you could call that, of one of our directors who's not with us anymore. He passed away during the filming of AI.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yes. Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Wait a minute. No, he died during the shooting of...
I thought he died during AI.
No, he didn't do AI. That was a Steven Spielberg film based on Stanley Kubrick's notes.
Okay.
The last one he did was Eyes Wide Shut. He died during the filming of that.
Oh, really? Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway, Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
My son's favorite movie of all time. I'll never forget one night I was tired. We were sitting there watching TV flipping through HBO, and they had that movie on. And I said, you know what? Knowing the way you follow politics and knowing the way you like things, watch this movie. You'll like it. The next morning, I said, so how'd you like that movie? He goes, that was my favorite movie of all time. That's the best movie I've ever seen. Loves that movie.
Now, don't let the title make you think it's a comedy. But it's got some comedic moments.
Pretty much is a comedy.
But there's a lot of...
It's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
But it's still a comedy.
It's a great movie.
It is.
One of my favorite movies from the 80s, I believe it was in the 80s, based on a Stephen King novella, Stand By Me.
Great movie, great novella.
Mm-hmm. A David Bowie movie, Labyrinth.
I would like to see Labyrinth on the big screen again. I've seen it too, but I've never seen. I didn't see it on big screen. I watched it in VHS, I think, probably. So it's still. I'd like that. Might be interesting.
No,
that's a bizarre, twisted movie with David Bowie and the Muppets.
Yeah,
if I'm
and
right.
Also the female lead is a very young Jennifer Connelly.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Another classic from these don't give me the years, but It Happened One Night with Clark Gable and I believe Claudette Colbert.
Now, is that the movie they talk about in the Rob Reiner movie, Harry and Sally?
Could be.
I think that
could
it is.
Could very well be.
Or was that something else?
Here's a movie that
whatever it is
should have been based on my high school, my senior year, which really irritated me because I started writing a script, and when I saw this movie, I'm going, who was looking at my notes? Dazed and Confused.
Now, I've told you the reason behind that, right, John? The reason you think that about Dazed and Confused is because everybody thinks that about every from that era thinks that about Dazed and Confused, because it's the same experience. I'm what, 27 years younger than you, and even I had the experience.
47.
Even I had the same experience as I'm watching Dazed with Confused. You know everybody on the screen. They are all the cliche, stereotypical characters from your high school, and that's why that movie to this day is considered such a classic, and so many people love it because it speaks to them directly.
And this was the first. This is the movie that introduced us to All right,
Mr. Matthew McConaughey.
Yep, because that was one of his lines from that movie. The thing is, in my high school, I graduated high school in 71. In my high school, we had a cool dude like him, like Matthew McConaughey's character.
John, I believe that I said that we all
I know,
had those
but
characters.
Wait.
I don't need to know. You're not going to introduce us to all of them, are you?
Matthew McConaughey drives around, and I believe it's a 69 SS Chevelle, an SS 396 Chevelle.
That reminds me of something we need to talk about immediately after this.
The guy that I was writing in my script, his name was Tommy Sweatman, and Tommy Sweatman drove around in a 69 SS 396 Chevelle, where they had their the towers where they used to go and hang out. We had the blowhole.
I'm sure you did.
But there's so much of that movie was like, and they both take place in Texas. Mine takes place in Denton, Texas. Theirs takes place in, I think it's Austin or maybe Houston,
Can
Texas.
We please move on to the next movie? So,
anyway.
Thank you.
I will see that movie again because I really enjoyed it. They tried to get the Led Zeppelin song, Dazed and Confused.
I'm begging you.
And Led Zeppelin wouldn't sign off on
no,
it.
No. There was a time when Led Zeppelin, today they will license things, but they, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, are the most expensive music to license anywhere. I was watching a TV series the other day and they had a Zeppelin song and I thought, boy, they must have really wanted that because they had to pay through the nose for it. Go ahead.
Okay, and now Dazed and Confused is February 19th. The last one on my list is February 26th, and a great classic, a long movie because it does have an intermission, Gone with the Wind.
Oh, there you go. Very nice. All right, well, that's some good movies playing over there at the Regency Theater. Now, Regency Theater here in Ventura. You can find them online. They have a Facebook page as well. Mm-hmm. So, and if you sign up to like their Facebook page, they will send you the updates of these movies as they come around.
They're across the street from Ventura's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I don't think, I think they closed down their website. I think Josh said that they closed the website down, but they will have a Facebook page, so go to the Facebook page.
You can go to the Buenaventura 6 website.
I gave you an assignment several weeks ago that I think you forgot about, and I need the information.
I'm still working on that.
What is it?
It's the phrase. Oh, no, this was about cars.
Yes.
Because two things you asked me to check on. One was about cars, which, yes, I did forget about.
That was the most important one. Yes. The other one, forget about. Cancel that other assignment. I need that list of cars. And hey, you know what, audience
members? I started working on this.
You can help me with this, too. I need a list of television shows and movies in which the lead character drives a black 19. It doesn't have to be black. It has to be a 1969 Dodge Charger.
Not a 70, 71. It's got to be a 69.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for clarifying that. Yes, I need a 69 Dodge Charger. So any show that you can think of that the character drove one of those, send me an email, backseatmogul@roughedge.com. I will greatly appreciate your help in researching this. It's something that I'm doing as a project. So.
Now, it's a black Charger.
It doesn't have to be black.
Well, you just said that.
I know, but I also backed off on that, too. It doesn't have to be black.
Okay, so it can be an orange one with
it can be.
The Stars and Bars
absolutely.
Flag.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, but
people are going, what?
If it is black, though, That would be even better. Mm-hmm. That'd be even better. All right, moving on here. I wanted to talk about this movie. Johnny, would you see this movie? It stars Kate Winslet as a strong-willed and talented landscape designer who is chosen to build one of the maiden gardens at King Louis XIV's new palace at Versailles. In her new position of power, she challenges gender and class barriers while also becoming professionally and romantically entangled with the court's renowned landscape artist, André Le Nôtre. Does that sound like the kind of movie that you'd be interested in?
Well, if Kate Blanchett's in it, maybe.
She's not. It's Kate Winslet.
Oh, her sister.
Yeah. Maybe this might interest you. It's directed by Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah. Is he in it?
I don't know if that he's in it, but it is. Oh, he does. It does. He says Rickman also appears in the film, as does Stanley Tucci. So you get a performance by Alan Rickman. You get a directorial, his second film, by Alan Rickman, and the rest of that. So
Alan Rickman, one of my favorite English actors.
That's why I brought that up. I thought that was kind of interesting. All right, let's stop and play another song by our featured artist of the week. This, once again, is That's for next week. Forget that. This is, yeah, what?
What's the name of that movie again?
The one I just closed?
Yeah.
I forgot. We'll have to find that when we come back, because I closed
in
the window.
In my notes, I put Alan Rickman directed movie.
Yeah, that'll have to do for now. We'll come back to that here shortly. But let's play something for our featured artist of the week. This is, once again, Beautiful Mess. This track is called Holding On. We'll be right back. Backseat Mogul Show, Rough Edge FM.
So small and cheap, what sustains me? I didn't have to buy, but comes for free from my God on high. You see, I'm filled with hope, so never let me go, because He loved me first so many years ago. When that perfect storm left me out for dead, I heard His gentle voice inside of my head. He first reached out, and He won't let go, won't let go. He's lifting me up, and He's holding me close, holding me close. Yes, He's holding on, He's holding on.
This is the Backseat Mogul Show live here on Rough Edge FM. And that once again was our featured artist of the week. That is a band called Beautiful Mess. You can check them out at beautifulmessmusic.com. And because it's Christmas time, I thought we'd play a Christian band. And you know what I like about this band? They're not one of those Christian bands that rams it down your throat. I don't mind if you're a Christian band, but just don't ram it down my throat. I don't need to listen to Christian music and feel like I'm at church. That bothers me.
Which is one of the things I liked about a heavy metal group, Stryper.
Stryper, still out there making records.
Yeah, a Christian heavy metal group. And you remember the, would you call them soft rock? Kansas. What would you call Kansas?
Progressive rock.
Another Christian band that did not...
It didn't sound like gospel music. The lyrics didn't sound like... And, you know, sometimes Stryper did. But sometimes Stryper was clever about it, and that was okay, too.
Which, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with gospel music if that's what you like. It's not something...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. But for me, if I want gospel music, I will go to church. And then the walls will fall down.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. You done with that?
Okay. I'm going to burn in hell.
Probably. We talked earlier about the Mad Max trailer.
Yes.
And I want to bring it up again because, like I said earlier, I don't think I've ever... What? No, during the break.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We talk about so much stuff when we're on and off the air.
I look over at John and he's got this blank look in his face. No, okay.
Well, see, I keep notes during the show. So when he said, I'm going...
It's not on the notes. Well, Johnny and I were talking about the Mad Max trailer. It was released earlier this week. And I don't know about you, Johnny. I've never seen a trailer that makes me want to see a movie so much that I can remember. It looks... First of all, it looks as though George Miller has never stopped making Mad Max movies.
Yeah.
He hasn't missed a blink. This is the guy who produced the original Babe movie. The movie of the little pig.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
That's
not what he said.
Oh, that'll do pig.
That'll do pig.
Yeah, that'll do pig. Yeah.
To this day, top five best movies ever made. I absolutely love that Babe movie. It's a stupid little movie, a pig.
Yeah.
But that movie makes you feel love. I don't care what anybody says. That's awesome. The sequel, Wild and Crazy. George Miller stepped up from producer to director for the Babe sequel, Babe Pig in the City. Love that movie too.
I never saw it.
It's crazy. Oh, you got to see it. It's nuts. It's nuts. Andy, Mickey Rooney's in it.
It's
a crazy movie.
Is Babe's owner from the first one in it?
Oh, of course. I don't think he's in it as much. I think that it has more to do with his wife, as I recall. I need to see it again.
She's having an affair with Mickey Rooney?
No. How dare you insult the name of Babe like that?
No, I didn't say Babe.
Anyway.
Babe's mother.
The reason I bring that up is because George Miller, obviously, you know, most famous for the Mad Max movies, and deservedly so. The first Mad Max movie made in Australia on a shoestring budget.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Try to find the version that's got Mel Gibson's real voice. They redubbed it when they released it here in the States because they thought nobody could understand him. So try to find the one that's got Mel Gibson's real voice. The second movie, Road Warrior, one of the greatest science fiction action movie ever made. It's just terrific from beginning to end with some stunts that just rip your guts out.
Yeah.
They're just incredible. You can't believe what you're watching.
I mean, and if it looks like something actually did rip somebody's guts out, it probably did.
And then the third one, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, the first half of that movie is nothing short of great.
Genius.
The second half of that movie, it's good, but it doesn't hold up to the beginning, and that's too bad. This new one, however, looks like the best of all worlds. It's got the genuine stunts, because George Miller is all about real filmmaking. It's got incredible special effects. The last scene of that that trailer, where they enter the sandstorm, and the sandstorm sucks that one vehicle up into the sky, and the drivers and the people on it are all falling out into the tornado-like thing, and it's blown...
The car blows.
Oh, my Lord. It's like, I want to go see that movie right now. And, you know, Tom Hardy is going to be great as Mad Max, I'm convinced. But it just looks incredible. So I wanted to bring that up since that's one of the trailers that we both talked about seeing here. And what was the other one? You mentioned another trailer that we had both seen.
Oh, God, what was it? I can't remember.
Go back to our notes and see what it was. So anyway, I love this new world where they release a new trailer and within a day or so, you know, it releases at the theaters first, as it should, and then with a day or so, it's up at YouTube.com. So you can go to YouTube and watch the video, the trailer that day. Because I don't know about you, but I've always been a fan of trailers. There's too many at movies these days. You go see a new movie at a theater, and there's like 11 trailers before it. That's too many. Give me four or five. Four or five trailers is good. But I swear, last time I went, there's like 11 trailers before the movie started. That's 30 minutes of trailer. That's too much.
Yeah.
You know, four or five, I love. I love trailers. And as a kid, I even had a collection of trailers, those little reels, 35 millimeter reels.
I remember that.
I have since sold most of them on eBay for rather good money, by the way, I might add. Anyway, also speaking of which, if you'd like a copy of the poster for the canceled movie, the interview, you can go to eBay and find them for as little as $7.99, as much as $600.
Wow.
Somebody paid $600 for the interview poster. I don't know why.
Because they could.
But apparently they could.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen any episodes of the TV series Ascension?
No. Any good?
Well, just let me put it this way. It's a drama. Do you remember the movie The Truman Show?
I saw your post on this. Yes, it's like The Truman Show.
Well, The Truman Show was a comedy.
Yeah, well,
for the most part.
It was a comedy drama. There's a lot of drama in the Truman Show.
Well, and the only reason I'm saying this, you'll find out at the end of the
spoiler
first,
alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. You find out at the end of the first episode. Yeah.
What is it with people coming up copying ideas nowadays?
Yeah, well, it's you'll understand what I'm talking about when you watch. I enjoyed the first episode. Even the end, I did. But, yeah.
The first thing you thought of was Truman Show.
Exactly.
And there was that...
And the Truman Show was based on an episode of the redone Twilight Zone TV series when they did the black or the color ones. They did in the 80s, late 80s or 90, early 90s.
Are you saying you know this for a fact that it was based on it, or do you think it was just another similarity?
No, I know this for a fact.
It says that in the credits.
I researched it.
Does it say that in the credits?
Well, I don't know. I didn't even watch it.
Okay.
But,
because I was unaware of that.
Yeah. Remember the actor's last name was Naughton? He did the Coke commercials. Yeah. He also did An American Werewolf in London.
It was David Naughton.
David Naughton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's in that particular episode, which is, I think, called Secret Service, something like that, which is about a TV show about this guy's life, and he did not know about it.
He didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be in the credits if it's not. All right, that's pretty much it for this week's show. Go to the movies, folks. Don't listen to those guys in North Korea. Go to the movies. Go often to the movies. Do not let another country tell us what we're going to do. That's all I got to say.
Exactly. And you know something? Have a very Merry Christmas.
That's actually more important.
Scotty, have a very Merry Christmas.
You too,
Christmas.
Johnny. Have a Merry Christmas.
I'll do that.
What'd you get me?
I got you it's not Christmas yet.
Almost got it out of him. All right, folks, we're going to close out with one more track by our featured artist of the week. Once again, this is Beautiful Mess. This track's called Words Getting Around, and I believe that's the title of their new EP. And you can check them out once again at beautifulmessmusic.com. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas.
Real quickly, let Scotty know if you can think of any TV show, TV movie, or regular movie that one of the main characters actually is a 1969 Dodge Charger.
Any form of entertainment whatsoever. If you can think of something, send me a list.
It doesn't matter what color the car is.
I'm doing some research for my new book, so I need to get that out there. Thank you all again for listening. And this is, once again, Beautiful Mess with Words Getting Around. We'll see you next week. Next week, we'll be talking about the movies that are coming out in 2015. So stay tuned for that. Next week, 9 o'clock, Backseat Mobile Show, Rough Edge FM. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Talking about back to the high life. You're living the dream, loving your life, or so it seems. Now word's getting around. You're staying up late to stare at the stars, and out of the way, now it ain't too far. And she says you want to work things out, and now you've asked me what God is about. Yeah, words get around. You've loosened your grip and you're letting go. When it matters most, you dare to be bold. People say you're crazy and you're not so sure, but I see a life that's wanting more. Now words get around, yeah. Oh. You're staying up late to stare at the stars, and out of the way, now it ain't too far. And Billy says you want to work things out, and now you ask me what God is about. Of truth, there is no doubt. You're the one we're talking about.
Yeah, what's getting worse, getting around. Yeah, what's getting worse, getting around.
Oh. Yeah, what's getting worse, getting around. Staying up late to stare at the stars. And out of the way, now it ain't too far. In case you want to work things out, now you ask me what God is about.
This has been a Rough Edge Studios production.